refuge fail me? No man cared for my soul. I cried unto the Lord, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Tend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteousness shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. A great verse there in verse number 4, where David said, I looked on my right hand, there wasn't nobody there. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now you can get to the place in your life where you think that nobody cares about you. And I'd say with all these hundreds of people here this morning, there's somebody here that you're going through a hard time and you think that nobody cares. Well, I just want to remind you this morning that somebody does care about you. Somebody does care. That song's been on my mind all week. I've been singing it, driving down the road, and it's been on my mind. It says, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. And, boy, it goes on. When the way is dreary and the nights are dreary or something like that, I know my Savior cares. I don't know if it's in our book or not, but find that. We might sing it. Did you know this morning? It's a great thought to know that somebody cares. Right now, while I'm speaking to you, somebody's putting a needle in their arm. You got a thing tied on, trying to find a vein where they can just barely get another needle in. Shooting up another dose of heroin. Try to get a high off of, because they're convinced that nobody cares what happens to them. Right now, some little kid, right now, while I'm preaching, can hear, Mom, Fader, why don't you do that before I start? He just wants everybody to see him, the reason he does that in front of him. Amen, I appreciate that. Right about the time I get to the good part, here he comes, that one. No, I appreciate, he cares for me. That's why he took, tell him I'm been clearing my throat here. I've been screaming all week long and sweating and then coming out in the cold. About froze death, burnt up Monday night, froze death by Thursday night. But anyway, right now, while I'm preaching to you, some young person can hear Mom and Dad fussing in the other room. And he's screaming, I'm leaving. And she says, I don't care. And the little kid's in there thinking, Mom and Daddy don't care about me. It's a cruel world. A lot of people believe that nobody cares. Many people today are saying, who cares? People are killed in wrecks and fights and wars. And some say, who cares? One more won't matter. David had many ups and downs in his life. David was a man that had some mountaintops and valleys. One day he would write the glorious 24th Psalm about the King of Glory. One day he broke 4 out of the 10 commandments. He was a man who would get in trouble and then have a great victory and kill the giant and then run from one man who was weaker than he. And he got to the place one time where he honestly thought that nobody cared. Right now, some little child is laying in bed crying. Their feet are cold. Their head is hurting. From a night of abuse, being slapped around and beaten by an adult that don't care. Some drug addict is shaken in a hospital or going into nervous tremors and DTs, wondering if anybody cares. Some husband who's got up this morning and found his wife's clothes gone or a note, and his heart feels like it's about to come out, and his heart is breaking and he's stomach is hurting. He said, nobody don't care. That's the way a lot of shape are in. Did you know if the devil can ever get you down to where you think nobody cares about you, he's got a foothold in your life. If the devil can get you down where it says your friends don't care, nobody don't care about you, what does it matter? If the devil can get you to believe in that, he'll ruin your life. Well, I want to give you some news this morning. Thank God there's somebody that does care. The first thing I want to say this morning is that God cares about you. God cares about you this morning. Bible said, for God so loved the world. Our preacher used to tell us that nobody knows how much love is wrapped up in that little word, so. How much did He love it? He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who gave us the sun shining out there this morning? Who do you think kept you alive all night long while you were asleep? Who do you think is making your heart beat right now? Every time your heart beats, that's God putting energy in you and allowing your heart to beat. Who do you think gives you clean air to breathe? Who do you think keeps germs and disease from entering your body and keeping you alive right now? Who do you think gives you the food that you had on your table yesterday? You say, well, Brother Danny, I worked hard for that food and I've... No, God gave you the help. He gave you the job. He let the cow grow so you could have that hamburger. He let the corn grow so you could have that corn. He let the beans grow so you could have those beans. God is showing you that He cares for you. There's been a lot of people had a son die in the war and received a telegram that their son had died. They didn't see the blood. They didn't see the agony. They didn't see the torment. God saw the whipping. God saw the pain. God saw the agony that His son went through. God saw him every time they hit his back. God saw it. Every time they slapped his face, God saw it. Every time they spit on him, God saw him treating his son like they did. God saw as they took his son up and put nails through his hands and his feet and beat those nails through his hand. God saw as the blood run down the old rugged cross. God saw as he cried out in agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God saw it all. You know why God didn't intervene? You know why God didn't stop that from happening? You know why God didn't intervene on that dreadful day of the crucifixion and say, no, you're not going to do this to my son. This is my son. Because God cared for you and me. God cared enough to let His son die for us. He interposed His precious blood. He let His son die for our sin. Now, if that's not showing us that He cares, what in the world do we have to see? You don't have to see it wrote up in the sky. It's written in blood on Calvary that God cares about you. He cares, He cares. Oh yes, He cares. I know that He cares about you. I want to tell you something else. Jesus cares. The second member of the Godhead, He cares. He had the highest place in heaven. Angels would do His bidding. Seraphim would bow down to Him. And yet He left it all, stripped Himself of deity, came down and clothed in humanity, come down to this little planet on the backside of the universe, born in a manger, grew up with troubles and trials, temptation, hunger, and went all the way to the cross and bowed His head and said, it is finished! To show us that He cares. Oh yes, He cares. Oh yes, He cares. He does care. I'll never forget one time, I believe the Lord gave me this dream that I had. And I dreamed one night. I'm not saying that God inspires dreams or anything, but I believe sometimes He lets us dream things. And I know all dreams don't come from God, don't you? Okay, you listening? And brother, sometimes God will let you have thoughts in your head and trouble you and all. And one night, a long time ago, I had this dream. And I dreamed that I was in prison for murder. And they had sentenced me to the electric chair. And it was so real. I shot the president. And I dreamed it was real. I'd heard about Oswald, one of them fellas, you know. And I dreamed that somehow I got mad and I shot the president. And they had me in jail for murder. And they put me in there. And buddy, it was the awfulest feeling. It was the most terrible feeling. They had me in my cell. I remember I was sitting in a cell like this saying, man, I'm going to die. I can't go out and be normal and live a happy life. Can't see my kids. I can't just get in my car and drive up down the road. It's an awful feeling being in prison. I've never been. That dream was bad enough for me. And I thought I'm going to that chair. And I'm condemned to die. And they're going to put me in that chair. They're going to put them straps on my arms and legs. And then they're going to blindfold me, I reckon. And then somebody's going to go over here and throw the juice to that thing. And I'll jerk around there. Life will go out of my body. I am condemned to die. I'll never forget that. And it was one of those dreams that was so real. When I woke up, I was just froze. You ever had a dream like that? And I woke up and went, of a sudden it hit me that it wasn't true. All of a sudden it hit me that I was a free man. And it began to dawn on me, I'm not in jail. I'm not going to the electric chair. I didn't shoot the president. It was all a bad dream. Here I am, I'm free. Woo! I can go out and get my car and drive down the road. I can go in the store and buy a Pepsi. I can go to the post office. I can work for a living. I can pay my bills. And I can raise my kids. Boy, it was the best feeling ever was. I thought, man, this is great, this is great, this is great. But boy, it reminds me of that happy day when I was burdened down with my sins. I was condemned to die. When I was 17, I was on my way to the electric chair. It's called hell in the Bible. My sins were on me. My sins were condemning me. I was on my way to destruction. And if I had died when I was 18 at the first year, part of that year, I would have went to that eternal place of punishment that God prepared for the devil and his angels. But boy, when I was 18 in April of that year in Nebo Baptist Church, I woke up and realized that it was all past and gone, and that Jesus had set me free, and that He cared about me, and He cared for my soul. And brother, it was a glorious day when that thought hit me. You know, it's just like waking up after a bad dream. I realized that He cared. I realized that He cared. He cared! Oh yes! He cared! And He went to that cross that day. He could have called 10,000 angels to come get Him down, but He looked out into the future, saw a little 18-year-old boy laying on his face at Nebo Baptist Church, and said, I'll do this for that boy right there! And He did it for you too. He cares about you. Not only does Jesus care, but the Holy Spirit cares. Holy Spirit cares. Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send Him. And we know He got back to heaven all right because the Holy Ghost got here. Amen? Jesus said, I'm going to go back to my Father, and when I get back to the Father, I'm going to send the Spirit. Well, we know He made it home safe and sound because the Spirit of God is here. And He sent the Spirit of the Lord. He came on the day of Pentecost to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I saw the Holy Spirit move. I'll never forget one time up there in the old building, way before we ever moved down here, we had our old sign up there. We had a big sign like this that said, Jesus is the answer to all your problems. And there'd be people come in our church up there. I saw it happen where they would sit down without hearing me preach, without hearing any testimonies, just sit down and look up at that wall and start crying. One night, there was a girl came, and this girl sat about on the second or third row. The choir was up singing, and as they began to sing, the Spirit of God started coming through there. This girl just started bawling, and I was trying to get a hold of somebody's attention, saying, talk to her, talk to her. Help. And finally somebody did, and they held her by the hand, said, would you like to go? She came to the altar and got saved. And I thought, how the Holy Spirit cares just to come down through here and seek out sinners in the church. He's moving in here this morning to show you that He cares. He cares about you. He cares what happens to you. The Holy Spirit cares. But so God cares for your soul. I want to say something else this morning. The church cares about you. That's why we build church buildings, have preachers, and have services. That's why we work and pray. You know, that's why my vocal cords are strained this morning. It's because I've been hollering and screaming this past week, and the week before, and it will be this coming week, and the week after that, and the week after that, night after night after night. I just get up and scream, we care, we care, we care. Don't die in your sins. Don't go to hell. There's somebody that cares about you. The church is not just a place of a social event where we come and shake hands and see each other and talk business deals for the community. That's not church. The church of Jesus Christ cares about you. I heard about this lady in Hammond, Indiana, First Baptist Church, and that woman had won something like 30 adult people to Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's not unusual. No, it's not. But you consider she is in a wheelchair. And she's got one of those little wheelchairs with a little motor on it. She rides it up and down the sidewalk. And she tells people that Jesus loves them. She's won 30 adults. Adults. To Jesus Christ. Brother John, you in here this morning? Brother John, right over there, comes to church on crutches. Brother John walked down here Thursday morning to be in visitation service to tell some. You know where he lives? A couple of miles. Took him an hour and 45 minutes to walk from his house down here to the church. We fussed at him. We said, "Why didn't you call us?" He said, "I just wanted to see if I could do it." And walked down here to the church. I don't believe I'd want to see that bad, Brother John. But anyway, he came. You know why? Because the church cares about people. We care about people. You know why we spend $10,000 a year running them buses up and down all over these creeks and pushing them down, putting tires on them and changing the oil and buying tires and gas? Is because the church cares about what happens to you. Missionaries leave their home. Give up everything they've got. Listen, the world tries to get you to think that all churches are Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, money-making rackets where people just suck people's livelihood out of them and get their welfare checks and get rich. That's what TV wants you to think church is. Because the devil wants you to think that all preachers and churches are crooks. But I'm telling you this morning, 95% of the body of Jesus Christ on this earth is not like that. They care about people. They care about what happens to you. Let me tell you something, friend. You're sitting on $28,000 worth of seats this morning that ain't paid for. And the people in this church work. These men in this church come up here and nail this sheetrock up over top of this building on this ceiling till 10 and 11 o'clock at night, after night, after night, after night, after night. We didn't have to do that. We could have just been content and sat up there and had service every Sunday and all eat supper together and have cookouts together and fellowship and have a good time and keep a small church and just spend time together and live it up. You say, you know why we stepped out here and did this? Because we care about what happens to you. We thought, Lord, if we can build a building and give our money. I've seen people in this church give money that they didn't have to give and do without because they thought it might help you to come to get saved. Don't you sit there this morning and say nobody cares about you. We care about you. Preacher cares about you. The church cares about you. And boys up there praying last night late because they care about you. They care about you. I read about that. When those 11 people got trampled to death at that rock concert. They don't care. The people don't care. The man that sells you drugs, the fellow that supplies you with alcohol, don't care. They don't care about you. You know who cares about you? The church cares about you. The pusher don't care. The bootlegger don't care. Hollywood don't care. Let me give you somebody else that cares for your soul this morning. The people in heaven care for you. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says when a person gets saved, there's rejoicing in the presence. It don't say the angels do it. I think they probably do. But it says in the presence of the holy angels. The people in heaven care about you. I don't reckon the angels know how wonderful it is for somebody to get saved. But the people that's up there sure do. Imagine a mother. She's in heaven this morning. And imagine this mother's in heaven. She's been there for years and years and years. Now, I don't know how they get the information to them. And I don't really understand how much God lets them see of what we're doing right now. But I don't believe that people in heaven are totally ignorant of what's going on down here. I believe they see us when we score. I believe we see us when people get saved. I believe God lets them look over the banisters and cheer us on as we try to get the... They're probably cheering for me up there right now. They're saying, "God, help his throat. God, give him strength. God, let him think right. Preach it, Danny. Come on, get off it, boy. Quit messing around." That's what they're saying. I'm trying not to mess around. I preached the other night. I preached the other night down there in Shelby. And when I come out, this guy said, "I enjoyed your speech." I thought, "Lord, I'm backslid." God forbid, as an insult. Speech. I wasn't supposed to have been a speech. God didn't call me to speech. That's right. He called me to preach. See? I'm not a speecher. Yeah, you don't sit there and say, speak it, brother. No, God called me to preach. He sure did. I ain't doing a very good job of it, but I'm going to, listen, all as long as I've got lungs, that He's there, that He's real, that He cares. He cares. I know He cares. Thank God He cares. Sometimes when I'm down and out and I think nobody cares, sometimes when I do my best and it seems like it don't do no good, sometimes when you try and it seems like you're not getting anywhere, there's a voice comes through all of that and says, I care. I care. I care. Hallelujah. He cares this morning. He cares. I know He cares. He cares. People in heaven care for your soul. I like that song says, it made news in heaven when I got saved. There's that mother up there. She's up there in heaven. Somebody's down here. We're having a service. Somebody preaches. That boy gets under conviction. He comes to the altar. He prays. He gets saved. There's a big old bell rings up there in heaven. Ding! Somebody comes over the intercom. Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention? That New Manor Baptist Church down yonder in North Carolina. This morning, about 10 minutes ago, old so-and-so got born again, got eternal life, got all his sins washed away. And Mama hears her boy's name cry. And she said, what? Boy got saved. She prayed for him for 40 years before she went to heaven. And the devil told her he'd never get saved. And buddy, she dances around the throne and praises God forever and more and more forever and ever because her boy got saved. She grabs a hold of some of them Old Testament people or some of them people. It's D.L. Moody. And she says, rejoice with me, D.L. Moody. Rejoice with me. My boy got saved. He'll be here with me. God honored my prayers. He cares. He cares. He cares. The people in heaven care for you. They're up there waiting on you. People in heaven this morning are waiting on you to come and share it with them. Let me say this morning, not only does God care for your soul, not only do we care for your soul, not only does people in heaven care for your soul, but did you know this morning that people in hell care about you? You say, Brother Danny, I don't know if I believe that or not. Bible said in the book of Revelation, talks about a place of eternal torment and fire and brimstone. And the Bible said in Luke 16, there was a man died and he went to hell. He was screaming because he was burning. You imagine being burned all over your body. I mean just screaming, burning. The pain. And he said, send somebody, they can just tip their finger in water. Put a little drop of water on my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. And then he said, Father Abraham, he said, would you please let somebody go up there on earth and tell my five brothers about this awful place that I'm in so they won't come. You think about that. You think about that. Think about a man in hell this morning screaming. He had his opportunity to be saved and he blew it. He said no to God one time too many. He turned down the invitation. His life's trip. And now he's in hell. Now he's hopeless. He's screaming and burning. And he's saying, God, let somebody go tell my brothers. Don't let my brothers come. Don't let my brothers come. God, I'm here. I'm doomed. But don't let my brothers come. That's what's going on in hell this morning. People in hell cares about you. There's no way you can describe hell. No madman in his wildest moments of insanity. Have you ever noticed that all the horror movies they've ever made, they ain't never made one compares to hell? Make Twilight Zone or Alfred Hitchcock, something like that. Let them make a horror movie and have a big old lake of fire burning with people in it and they go on forever and ever and ever. They ain't never made one that scary. You can't imagine how bad it is. But the people in hell that know you don't want you to come. They're your friends here. They don't want you to go there. Now there's one person I've left out this morning and I'm going to close with asking you this question. God cares what happens to you. He don't want to see your life going like it's going. Somebody here this morning, your life's just going down, 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 down by the minute. And God cares about you. Jesus cares. The Holy Spirit cares. The church cares. The people in heaven care. The people in hell care. Let me ask you one question this morning. We'll pray. Do you care? Do you care this morning? You say, Brother Danny, I just got the place where I don't even care. Well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. When you get to the place where you don't care, the devil's done a number on you, friend. But I want to tell you what will make you start caring again. The Lord this morning stands with His arms open to welcome you into His family. The Lord will save you this morning. He'll change you this morning. You can walk out these doors this morning knowing that you're ready to meet God. He cares. He showed us over and over and over how much He cares. He cares. Let's pray. Let's pray this morning while every head is bowed and every eye closed. Christians are praying. Could I tell you this morning? He cares what happens to you. He cares. They're getting us a song. God may be speaking to your heart right now. You may have walked in this church this morning thinking nobody cares. I'm telling you, friend, you're wrong. You're wrong. Somebody cares about you. You know what you ought to do? You ought to just get out of your seat this morning when we stand and sing. Walk down here to this altar and say, Lord, I know that You care. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, dear God, that You would help that man who's here this morning who needs to know that You care about him more than anybody or anything. I pray for that woman who's here this morning who needs to know that You care about her. I pray for that teenage boy, that teenage girl that's here this morning. They don't really understand how much You care about them. Help them to respond to Your love today. I pray for that little boy, little girl, who may be here who thinks nobody cares. Maybe they think mom and daddy don't care. Maybe they think big brothers and big sisters don't care. Lord, let them know this morning that You do care. And oh Lord, I want to thank You for caring for me. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me and cared about me when it seemed like nobody else did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Help people to know this morning that You care. Amen. Let's stand.